You're listening to The Grow Show with me, Gary Jones. Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now I am joined by Matt Ruddle today, and we're going to be talking about all things CRM, emails, digital marketing, and the stuff that I love to talk about, he loves to do as well. So this is really cool, really good episode. So thank you very much, Matt, for joining us today.
No worries, pleasure to be here.
So the whole point of The Grow Show for people who have just joined in is to learn how to grow yourself, grow your business and grow your community. So, Matt, how do you help people in about a 30 second to a minute kind of pitch? How are you helping people at the moment?
I help people to kind of not only find their niche, but also then target those people, because marketing can be one of those things that you've got to be everywhere and do everything and speak to everyone. Yep. But actually, the more targeted you can be, the more targeted tools you can use, and actually then you start to actually win business. But more importantly, not only do you win it, you retain it as well. Because I think that's the forgotten element that people bypass, really, because everybody wants to win business. But that's the exciting bit. But actually doing more business with existing customers is just as important. And I help people build the systems and processes to do that.
Nice. So we'll kind of unpick little bits about those in a second. One bit I love what you just said is actually just knowing who you want to target and then actually focusing on those. And yeah, that's a key message that I love. How did you get into it, buddy? How did you get into this kind of marketing side?
I mean, my kind of history kind of is almost like the Human League, line from a Human League song. Although I wasn't working as a waitress in a cocktail bar, I was actually working as a security guard in a retail store at the time.
Okay.
But I just finished loads of IT qualifications, didn't know what I wanted to do, and just kind of stumbled into a job in a company that was brand new, that the only guarantee was they may not be here in 12 months' time. And it was the lowest paid job on offer at the time, and I did the most intelligent thing of taking it in an industry I knew nothing about. But it set me on that kind of path of working with some absolutely amazing companies over the years, some real global brands, like working with the British Athletics during the 2012 Olympics, and I've delivered Xerox, the printer manufacturers, did all their European partner communications. So yeah, so over the course of 12, 13, 14 years, it kind of really set me on a different path. And that's how I kind of stumbled into this thing.
Brilliant. So let's talk about some of the systems and processes that you said about before, that you set up for people. What are the most common ones that you kind of set up for people?
So one of the biggest things is that people don't necessarily know their customer journey.
Okay.
Everybody says that you need to do lead generation and you need to throw thousands and thousands of pounds, remortgage your house to spend it with Google or Facebook. But the simple fact is that doing that is all, if you're not set up with processes to capture these things, it's like turning the tap on and into a bucket with a hole in it. It just all falls through, wasted opportunities, and what's the point then? So I help people to kind of look at that entire end-to-end journey. So when you do the lead generation, you've got the forms and the processes to capture them. You've got the sequences to nurture them as well, then to convert them, and then to actually retain them. So, yeah, complete end-to-end stuff using some of the latest tech out there as well.
Brilliant. And most of the people who listen to this are probably going to be small to medium business owners. And so what do you reckon, as a rough number, have got the CRM system, let's say, in place? So I don't think it's going to be that high.
Oh, God, no. But then again, even something like Microsoft Excel could be considered as a very, very basic CRM system.
Interesting.
Because it's just a database. CRM is the fancy title. The main point about it is having it in a system that allows you to do something with it. So you're getting into something like ActiveCampaign, or people will know Infusionsoft or Keepers is now known. Being able to have a database that you can then do something with, and that's the absolute key thing. But the number of people that have a system in place is very, very low. HubSpot is one of the favorite ones, but then the moment people try and do something with it, I mean, remortgage your house. Literally, I'm talking to somebody at the moment that spends $9,000 a year on HubSpot and barely uses it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So why do you think they don't use it? If they've got it, why do you think that, what stops them from using it?
It's purely because they don't understand. And Infusionsoft had this problem years ago where you had to spend a $2,000 setup fee, regardless of who you were, and then it was like $250 a month. I knew people who actually employed people to use it who still didn't understand how to use it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, okay. But often you're told, right, you need a system, you need a system, you need a system.
Yeah.
But people end up kind of shoehorning themselves into something and then never really fully use it because, let's face it, as a small business, there's so much other stuff going on. They've got to do their marketing. They've got to do their database management. They've got to do their accounts maybe. They've actually got to go out and win the business and do the business as well. So, you know, if you think of a plumber, for instance, well, a plumber needs to do his marketing, his sales, his touting for business, and he needs to go and sort out all the problems with people's U-bends and stuff. So,
yeah.
So it's a case of people go, right, I need to get something. Let's just get something in place because it ticks a box.
Yeah.
But actually, they never see the full value or the full power of it because they don't understand that they don't give it enough time to learn it, and that's the difficult thing. And it becomes just a waste of money. It's like that gym membership that everybody signs up for in January, and then by May, you've been twice in the whole year, and you're still paying for it.
Hey, I've been there, done that, and got a t-shirt several times. It's true. It's so true. It is. But actually, what you're saying is actually having a way of documenting it, whether that's an Excel sheet or a software. That's the important bit. And then using that, I suppose, and keeping it updated. Not just doing it once, keeping it updated.
Yeah, they're kind of different levels because you need to start collating your database. I mean, I was talking to actually what I thought was quite a successful business. Recently won an award. And I thought, okay, well, their back office is going to be, you know, nailed down because they're literally growing massively. And then you find out everything isn't even in the spreadsheet. It's just in email folders, and you go, that's no database at all, because you can't use that for marketing purposes or anything, because if you try and send out mass emails via Outlook, the chances are you'll end up getting blacklisted if you're doing too many, and it's a very sticky wicket to be on. But then you can't necessarily progress to a CRM system to then grow your business because you've got to do all that back office stuff of building the database in the first instance. It just becomes really messy and kind of a wild beast then to tame.
Makes sense. I was talking to a customer yesterday, and this is all about databases. And he was asking about how to manage his database because he gets about a 15 to 25% kind of open rate on his emails. And he wondered kind of how to clean. He used the word clean. How to clean it, how to make sure it was all good quality stuff. I didn't have any words for him because that's not my area of expertise. But for that person, because he's not going to be alone, there's going to be other people out there in exactly the same position. What would you say to them? How would you manage that database once you've got it?
It's about engagement. So it's like everything. The ISPs always move the goalposts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the likes of Google and Hotmail and Yahoo and all those always move the goalposts.
Yeah.
So if you're blasting out an email to a list of, say, 10,000 people, but only 1,000 people are opening it, but you continually talk to those other 9,000 who are just effectively dead to you on your list,
that will
affect your deliverability, because sooner or later they'll just go, look, you're sending to this one email address. They're not opening it. They're clearly not interested in it. So you need to engage with people, but you do need to make that heartbreaking decision sometimes to cut people loose. And this is where I find, you know, it's slightly a brash move sometimes of going and sending an email to those people that literally says, I'm about to unsubscribe you, because all of a sudden you're challenging and it's that fear of missing out.
Yeah.
But the people that don't respond to that, you know, on one or two occasions, then start to cull, because they're not reading your messages, they're not responding to anything. And ultimately the people who are responding to things and reading things will sooner or later not see anything from you, because you'll end up with a bad reputation, you'll end up with in more junk folders and inboxes. So yeah, clean your database. regularly based upon engagements, because if people aren't engaging with you, by all means, keep their records so that you can phone them up or do something else with them. Certainly from an email point of view, cut them loose, set them free. The numbers on databases can be a bit of a vanity thing of going, oh, well, I've got 10,000 people on my database. Yeah. Nobody's open. Nobody's reading anything you're sending. So what's the point? It's just your mum and your missus is opening your emails, and that's all and good, but you're not going to get any business from it. So take the hard line, start to cut people off if they're not engaging with you.
Brilliant. Brilliant advice. I wonder how social media fits into the whole database thing, because do people tend to, something that I get asked quite a lot, and I still think email marketing is still very prevalent and having databases is very, very important. I'm completely with you on that. But the common argument is, well, I've got social media followers, so why do I need a database? Do you hear that as well, or is it just me?
Totally. I kind of follow the philosophy of a guy called Daniel Priestley, who wrote the book Key Personal Influence, Oversubscribed. And multiple other ones. Now, he talks about in Oversubscribed about the 7-11-4 philosophy, about 7 hours of content, 11 touch points, 4 different locations. Now, if you imagine that, because we don't distinguish between face-to-face and digital interactions, so for instance, this podcast is money in the bank, really, in terms of connecting with people, because they're going to hear me whitter on for before you cut me off anyway. And therefore, it helps to build up that reputation. So therefore, just because somebody's following you on Facebook doesn't mean that they're following you on Twitter or on Instagram or LinkedIn, and they're not on your email list. So therefore, the more you can be seen without bombarding people with the whole buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, offer value. So social media is a way of helping people to, you can hook them in by offering exclusive content and resources via email. Offering lead magnets and things like that. But people will see you on Facebook, they'll see you on Instagram, they'll see you here, they'll see you there, and all of a sudden, then they see you in their inbox. Then they click a link and they get a follow-up email, and then they see a video on YouTube, they listen to a podcast. It's just the same. I mean, you could use the example of, say, George Michael. So when George Michael died, people were absolutely gutted. But how many people actually knew him as a one-to-one person? Very, very few of those people that were upset by his untimely passing. But every Christmas, we spend 10 hours with the guy listening to Last Christmas in our homes, in the shops, in the car. So therefore, we build up that thing in our brain that says, well, we clearly know this guy. Mm. That if he walked past us in the street, we go, hi, George. I'm not, hi, Mr. Michael. We build up those reputations. So therefore, the more you can be seen in places offering value, it all comes together. It all knits together. It's just them finding that sweet spot, because the more that they do follow you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all these things, and your emails and all the other content you put out, you get them up to that buy-in position where they go, I know this guy, I like this guy, I trust this guy. This guy is everywhere, so he must be good at what he does. And that's actually won me business myself, of going, I've been everywhere, and people have gone, right, I need to work with you before, A, you put your prices up, and before you kind of like, can't work with me. So it's about that positive exposure and offering value rather than just saying, oh, well, people buy from me because I'm on Facebook. People don't buy straight away, so you've got to nurture them.
No. Is the 7 touch points still applicable, or has that number changed?
No matter who, you can follow so many different sales gurus, and they'll say it's 7 touch points, 10 touch points, 300 touch points. I think the fact is that the touch points differ, and each of the touch points have a different value. So for instance, somebody seeing a tweet from you on Twitter, that content lasts on now 18 minutes before it's bombarded by another 300 messages. So therefore, that only has a small little weight, but then them watching a 3-minute video or listening to a 30-minute podcast, or 45 minutes if I can stretch it to that, adds more weight to you being seen as that key person, that go-to person. So therefore, I think the touch points, you know, telesales are smash and grab, and I think people are fairly switched off to it at times because nobody likes being sold to. And as soon as you start doing that, the barriers come down. So the more you can be seen as that expert, the more that, that when you do come to make that, that one or two phone calls, all of a sudden they're like, "Ah, oh, I love that post you did on LinkedIn. I saw your video. I listened to that podcast. It was amazing. You know, yeah, how can I help? You know, how can we work together?" Hmm. So it's about breaking down those barriers by being seen in these different places.
I love it. And I couldn't say it better myself. This, for me, if you're into digital marketing in whatever way, and you know someone who isn't, share this episode, because this has got some really golden stuff. It, honestly, it has. It's got some really good stuff in. So we've spoken about, we've covered a lot of points already, but I want to cover a few more.
Sure.
And we had a chat outside of this kind of bit all about creating content.
Yep.
And about actually creating content to put out to your ideal customer, but not being afraid of doing it. And I just wanted you to expand on that a little bit more, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we all suffer from imposter syndrome at some stage. And the worry that what we put out there, somebody's going to pull me up on it. Somebody's going to question it. Oh my God, you know, I'm exposing myself here in a legal way. So therefore, we always think that we always think that everything we put out has to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, like, video marketing, I'm a big fan of video marketing. I recorded some yesterday, but you know what? I talk to people about video marketing and say, "You've got to do this. It's amazing." Put me in front of the camera and I'm like, ah.
Yes.
What am I going to talk about? And we always think that because that we want everything to be polished. We always want people to see, you know, we want it to be Oscar quality content. Mm-hmm. But it's better to put something out there, because if nobody knows you're there, if nobody can see what you're doing, well, nobody's going to buy from you. Your competitor is going to smash that market, and you're not even going to get a look in because you're not out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like sitting in your back bedroom and waiting for the phone to call, as Brad Burton say when he started out, of going, well, if nobody knows you're there, how do they know that you know, that you A, can do the job, and B, can help them? Mm-hmm. So you've got to start somewhere, and there are services and there are tools out there that can help you do these things on a shoestring budget, because you don't need to hire the massive production crew. You know, you're not filming the next Avatar film, so you don't need all of that. You're not, you know, writing War and Peace for a blog. You're not, you know, painting the Mona Lisa so you can put it on Instagram. You can just start by using some really cool little tools that are really cost effective, that will have a massive impact, and you can adapt it. You know, that people will see your stuff and they'll start to know you and like you. You can adapt and you can pivot. But again, it's about knowing your niche so you know where to play as well.
Brilliant. And for the people who are listening, who just want to get a bit more of an insight into that, I am recording this, or we're recording this via Zoom on an iPhone. So iPhone 8 is what I'm using to kind of do this interview. It's using Zoom, the recording software, I suppose you can call it. I don't know what the official name is.
Conference call.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one. Matt's got AirDrops in. I've got classic iPhone headphones in, so we've got a mic there. And then I'm going to be editing it on a software called Audacity. You know, it's quite straightforward technology that we're using. But it's more important to get the message out there rather than to worry about perfection. And I see that all the time with video and Facebook Lives. And I think there was a psychologist or sociologist called Donald Winnicott who said good enough was good enough. And it's so true. It is so true.
Yeah, I was at a talk by Mark Wright, the guy that won The Apprentice a few years ago. And he said, you know, it does differ, but he said it's quantity over quality sometimes. And I see what he says in terms of getting stuff out there, because if you don't get stuff out there, well, you know, what's the point? You know, nobody knows you're there. It does need to be of a certain quality, as in, you know, just do the basics. So check for typos, or don't use really low quality images. You know, just give yourself a fighting chance to do these things. But make a start. And that's what holds a lot of people back. And I've done it myself. I've done networking for donkey's years. And when I set up my own business just over 12 months ago, I've never put a roller banner in a meeting. I got them printed. You can see them in the background. But only in the last couple of meetings have I actually started to put a roller banner out.
How come? Because that's rule number one, isn't it, really?
Exactly. So we got the whole business cards, all that kind of stuff. Even the brochures I got printed, I've only ever shown to a few people. So everybody suffers with that imposter syndrome. Mm. But you've got to make a start. And actually by doing these things, people, because even me posting social media, part of me was very much of, what if I say something that people say is wrong? Well, it's only wrong I don't know where I'm going with that, but it's a case of you've just got to get something out there, because you've got to be big and brave, because otherwise you're not going to win that business. You're not going to be there at the end of the fight. And what's the point of even starting your own business or moving forward?
True. I know when I first started doing video, there was three things that were stopping me. I didn't like the way I looked or sound. I kind of had that barrier. I didn't have the self-confidence to kind of get my message across, which was all about, actually, did I believe in what I was saying? That was what it was. And that led to, why would anybody actually believe what I was saying also? And then also, I didn't have the right equipment. And actually, once you got over those three parts, it becomes actually a lot simpler. Because doing a video like this, which we're making into a podcast, I can see you can see me. There's no difference in terms of, if we met each other on the street, we'd look exactly the same. So that kind of destroys point number one. Point number two, I know what I'm saying because it's part of my journey and I believe in that. So do you. So therefore, that works well. And we're using technology that's available to anybody. So actually, there's no reasons why with anyone with a smartphone now couldn't do something or put some count there.
So I've done quite a few talks in the last couple of months where I actually tell people the tools to go and use. So, even with video, I'm just going, your phone is good enough. There are some things that you can do to make it better, like turning it landscape rather than portrait, buying a mic, a little lapel mic, or even just going onto Amazon and buying a little tripod that comes with a Bluetooth remote, because then you don't end up with the finger of death coming towards you to hit the stop button at the end of the video. But you know what? You can just, for the sake of 20, 30 quid, all of a sudden, you've already got the phone, and then you just have the tripod, the Bluetooth remote, and the little, the external microphone, because then you get better sound quality, and all of a sudden, you can be smashing videos left, right, and center with your roller banners in the background, so you don't need to kind of, put your dirty laundry away from the radiator or anything. I was at a talk, I was at an all-day event, and literally this lady stood up and said, she started doing videos, and the first couple, she didn't realise, because she was doing it in the kitchen. Literally, she had a knickers on the radiator behind her, and then she was putting this out on Facebook and stuff.
I can beat that completely. I watched a video, actually it's an Instagram story, of a influencer talking about her growing her following. Going to the gym. She's about to go to the gym. She's got a protein shake there. In the background was a picture of her computer screen with a YouTube video titled How to Grow Your Instagram Following.
Oh, lovely.
It took me literally 2 seconds to go onto YouTube, find a video, because I could see the guy who was doing it. I watched the same video. And rule number two was show people what you're doing. Basically, document your day. So if you go to the gym and you're making a protein shake, tell people about it. Boosh.
Boom. Absolute carbon copy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Really great tips. We've been speaking for about 25 minutes, which has gone crazy. It's gone quick. So is there any other kind of key points you want to kind of finish off on? This isn't your final thought, but any other kind of key points that you just want to raise at this point?
It's consistency as well. So if you're going to you know, settle on a colour scheme or the way things look, then be consistent across mm-hmm. all media. You know, bring it into your email as well. Bring it into all your social media, because again, that just helps with the quality and actually saying something about you or going, well, if I'm going to hire you to do something, then if you're not even consistent across your own brand, how are you going to be consistent about mine or anything like that? So just make sure that you do the basics of making sure there are no typos, use quality images, you're persistent, so you get something out there, but mm-hmm. you're also consistent as well. And do those things, and it's a great start, and you'll grow into it.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now, if people want to check out more information about you, where would they find you? Are you hanging out on social media? Have you got a website? This is your chance to throw out any links.
I don't put anything out there. I'm
don't do up. Anything.
No. You can follow me on social media. Just type in Matt Ruddle and you'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, nice. Twitter. I haven't gone on to TikTok yet. So I'm a step too far. But yeah, I've got my website, mattruddle.co.uk. I'll be launching Ruddle Digital more seriously in the next couple of weeks. And I've also got, not that this is a shameless sales plug, I've launched the Get It Done Marketing Academy. So it's a one-stop shop for all things marketing. So safe environment for people to come learn. And, if they want to grow their Instagram followers, well, there's stuff there. Or if they want to learn how to do email marketing or what CRM systems are out there that they can use, then I've packed this thing full of, I think there's more than 21 different topics and about getting close to probably about 150 to 200 articles in there at the moment.
Good resources.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. Hopefully.
So just remember, folks, we're recording this in late February. You're listening to it probably July or August time. Yep. So would Ruddle Digital be out by then?
Massively, yeah.
Yeah. Just make sure the accountability is right there. Straight away.
Yeah, thanks. Cheers. Pressure there. Yeah.
So check out Ruddle Digital and check out Matt's online course, because it's going to be really good content in there. And lastly, I'd ask all the guests the same final question, because for me, this kind of sums up the whole episode. So Matt, what would be your final thought? What is your one golden nugget you would want to share with the world today?
I think we've kind of covered it throughout, but I'm going to be very blunt. Get it done. Because don't be worried about what other people think. Just get it out there, because people will connect with you. People will resonate with what you're saying. But if you don't put it out there, if you don't get it done, nobody knows you're there. So that's my final kind of thoughts, is get it done, make a start, and ride the waves. See what happens.
Brilliant. Matt, you've been a legend today. Thank you very much for joining us. And let's catch up soon.
Definitely.